This Sunday marks the fifth anniversary of the collapse of Lehman Brothers, the largest bankruptcy in American history. That September in 2008, Hank Paulson, George W. Bush's Treasury Secretary, raced to help prevent the failure of the world's financial network, in which AIG, Citigroup, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, and other large institutions were all in danger. Academy Award-nominated filmmaker Joe Berlinger interviews Henry Hank Paulson at length in a new film called Hank, 5 Years from the Brink. Mr. Berlinger's previous work includes Paradise Lost, a trilogy about three teens wrongly convicted of murder. To make Hank, he worked with Bloomberg Businessweek and Radical Media. The film premieres on Netflix this Monday, and it brings Joe Berlinger back to our show. Hello.
Hey, nice to see you again.
You've said that you made the Paradise Lost films as acts of advocacy, and your three films may well have helped fight an unjust conviction. Does Hank Paulson feel that he needs an advocate?
That's a great question. And actually, one of the great journeys of making this film was I came into it with a tremendous amount of skepticism. You know, being the left-leaning, social issues, documentarian type that I am, you know, I went in with a lot of preconceptions that, you know, the bailout was designed to really just assist Wall Street at the expense of Main Street. And I really was quite nervous about taking on this subject matter. But after meeting with Hank several times and reading his book and digging into it, I actually did a complete 180. And the journey of the film for me is really coming to embrace Hank's point of view, which is I think he's a unsung national hero. I think he took actions that really saved this country from a much worse financial situation. And that is not the popular view. I think Hank did a poor job. He did a great job saving the country, but a poor job of communicating to the country what he was doing and why. And I think that's the opportunity that I was presented in this film.
The book that you mentioned is On the Brink, which was published a little while back. Did this project originate with you, or were you approached to make it?
There's so many unusual things about this project. I mean, first of all, Businessweek magazine has decided to do films, you know, to get into the film business. And they approached me about it, and they approached me with the idea of doing Hank. And that's why I was a little nervous about it. I was intrigued by the idea of Businessweek getting into making films. What people may not know about me, which is not totally consistent with my profile, is I'm a bit of a stock market geek. I know a lot about the financial industry. It's kind of a pastime of mine, in addition to trying to get innocent people out of prison. So the two things don't necessarily compute.
Or to help people fight Chevron.
Exactly. You know, and it was, I think it was a bold choice because of that profile. In fact, I think it was a bold choice for Businessweek to approach me. I mean, you know, Crude is not exactly a pro-business movie. But I, you know, I relished the opportunity to sit down and talk with the guy because, you know, Goldman Sachs conspiracy theories are as old as Goldman Sachs in terms of that government revolving door of government Goldman Sachs people.
And Hank Paulson was the head.
Was the CEO of had a meteoric rise at Goldman and left to become the Treasury Secretary in 2006. So it was a fascinating experience, but not typical of my films. You know, first of all, it's in many ways I ripped off Errol Morris.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we used the Interatron, and it's a very Errol Morris kind of film. You know, his Rumsfeld film or Fog of War. I think Hank, you know, really did some amazing things that the general public doesn't understand. That is not to say, and I don't think Hank Paulson says this either, that is not to say that I condone in any way the egregious excesses that built up in the system that should have been better regulated, that should have, you know, been self-regulated, that led to the financial crisis, nor do I condone, you know, those appalling bonuses that executives took with TARP money. Nor do I condone the predatory lending practices. It's not about that. I mean, those are all real problems that need to be dealt with and should have been dealt with. But when Hank Paulson became Treasury Secretary, I think he was a man of incredible integrity who had not one but a dozen crises thrown at him in a very short period of time and handled them with a lot of skill that, you know, I think really saved the country from a much deeper financial mess.
In Errol Morris's film Fog of War, Robert McNamara apologizes in the end for the mistakes he made. Do you think that Paulson regrets any of the decisions he made? Any of the mistakes he might have made?
Well, I don't think he looks at what he did as negative. And I think people who are in the know from in the financial world all think he did a terrific job. I think the thing he regrets the most is his poor communication with the American people about what he was doing and why. And I think, as he says in the film, which is a concern of mine and which made the project relevant to me, I think some of the actions he took, which were anathema to him. He didn't like, as a free marketeer, he hated some of the things he had to do. But in many ways, we've sowed the seeds for a greater crisis. For example, the banks are bigger than ever. You know, there is Dodd-Frank legislation now that helps to unwind a bank that he didn't have when he first met the crisis.
Well, he keeps on talking about that in hopeful terms, but yeah. Dodd-Frank has pretty much not been implemented.
Right, right.
Well, in fact, it hasn't even been worked out.
Right. Well, the hope is that it's going to happen, you know, that it'll be enacted.
But we shall see.
We shall see. So, you know, but I think he is concerned about having, you know, the banks becoming bigger. You know, the biggest issue for him is, you know, the takeover of Fannie and Freddie continues. You know, it still remains in conservatorship. And, you know, when he did that move, you know, about half of new mortgages were guaranteed by the government. Now it's 90%. And that is sowing the seeds of potentially of a bigger problem.
Well, Paulson didn't address in the film the fact that he had been the head of Goldman Sachs before he became Treasury Secretary at a time when all of the dangerous practices that he later decries were taking place. And you wonder whether he was aware of the excesses in his own firm and in the other firms in his business.
Yeah, I went down that road with him a little bit. And, you know, he felt that Goldman was not as big into it as some of the other firms. The point of the film is that these are the things he was doing as Treasury Secretary. I agree that there is a little bit of a disconnect there.
You begin with a quite personal introduction to Henry Paulson, him being prepared for the interview, then how he and his wife recollect how they met. She tells a story about paper plane throwing at a performance of the Boston Pops under Arthur Fiedler. Because he turns out to be quite likable.
You know, the Hank Paulson that I saw in the media and while the crisis was unfolding was a guy who did not necessarily communicate well, did not necessarily appear to be sympathetic. And I had a number of meetings with him each of us were deciding whether we wanted to make the film. I was not 100% sold on the idea, and he was not sold on the idea of doing the film in general or having me do it. And, you know, right from the first handshake, he is a warm, likable, interesting guy. And I felt like he needed to present himself in a way that captures who he really is. And so I thought it was very important to, you know, spend 10 minutes of the film getting to know him, getting to know his – I think he's a man of incredible integrity and not your typical CEO. I mean, they live quite, you know – frugally, relatively speaking, compared to, you know, the average Wall Street CEO. And they're very proud of those values. And those values, I felt, were real and rare.
Well, he comes across as pretty humble, but many criticize his arrogance at the time. Paul Krugman condemned Paulson's proposal for having no accountability, no explanation for how it would work, poor terms for taxpayers. Have people gotten enough of the criticism through other coverage?
Well, I think the film does address we use contemporary news clips throughout the film, news clips of the time, to address a lot of the criticism. And I think you see him in the footage at that time not communicating that clearly. So I think, you know, the film is definitely a positive portrait of him. I will acknowledge that. It doesn't have my usual, you know, go get them, take down the institution.
This is not a frontline investigative
report.
Yeah,
but I made that was a conscious decision. You know, there were two different films that could have been made. One was a all-out you know, show both sides, which I do in many of my films, and have a lot of voices. But I felt that story has been covered to death. There have been many films, many excellent films about that, you know. I wanted to just tell his story from his perspective, in part because it's an incredibly dramatic human story of what whether you like the guy or not, whether you agree with his policies or not. He sat in the hot seat in what is probably a 100-year storm of things coming together that any one of these crises would have been overwhelming for a regular person. But I mean, he got Congress to act not once but twice on very significant things. First, the takeover of Fannie and Freddie, and then the conservatorship of Fannie and Freddie, and then TARP. Those were huge movements in a very dysfunctional Washington.
My guest is Joe Berlinger. His film Hank, 5 years from the brink. It is going to be made available on Netflix this coming Monday. Well, he seems to feel that if he hadn't done these things, we would have faced a very serious problem, that we might have had a depression. Well, we've had a recession, but a depression because all of these companies, all these banks failing would have meant that monies would not have been made available to other businesses, and the American economy might have ground to a halt, although you also point out in the film that the banks weren't lending very much of the money that they were supposed to lend as a result of this.
Right. Well, he was utterly convinced that we would have had another depression, in fact exceeded the joblessness of the Great Depression, that the entire economy would have seized up, and that there were crises that people didn't even realize were going on at the time to the degree that they would have frozen the financial markets. For example, the run on money market accounts that was about to happen because, you know, a money market fund had broken the buck, and you could no longer guarantee that you would get a dollar. And that was the same week that Lehman collapsed and AIG was going bankrupt. He had to prevent a run on the money market funds and did that very quickly. And that in and of itself, because those money market funds were the source of short-term financing for corporate America, all that short-term paper was based on underlies those money market funds. And if those had been, you know, if people made a run on those, that would have collapsed American business.
He has been interviewed quite a bit about why Bear Stearns and not Lehman Brothers, and I'm not going to go into that. I would if he were here. But some, like Simon Johnson at MIT, have said that Paulson and the other architects of the bailout have pretty much guaranteed another crisis within 10 years or so because we haven't put enough things, regulations in, to prevent that. We are kind of doing similar things today.
Well, I mean, Hank himself believes that unless certain things are addressed, most notably figuring out how to unwind Fannie and Freddie, that we are headed for another crisis.
Is he calling for more regulation?
I don't know the answer to that. I think he would like Fannie and Freddie to, you know, to be unwound and not to have this amount of mortgages be guaranteed by the government.
Joel from Westchester, a listener, asks whether Paulson has an opinion about whether Glass-Steagall should be reinstated, as some economists and lawmakers have suggested. Did that ever come up?
We didn't discuss that. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Guilt or innocence in Brother's Keeper or Paradise Lost is something many people feel they get intuitively, even if the facts are obscure. But when it comes to the financial crisis, it's really difficult. A lot of economists are stumped by the subprime crisis and Paulson's response. Was that a concern? You had such a complicated story to tell here, and you had to tell it in 90 minutes.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge of the film was making this financial crisis somewhat accessible to people, and I think that's what I'm most proud of in this film is that, you know, I think you walk away from the film getting, whether you agree with the decisions or not, and whether you think we have sown the seeds for a larger disaster, that's way beyond my, you know, my rank. But I think understanding the complexity and what actually happened, I think is, you know, you get a good picture with this film. And I think it's important to know what happened to try to prevent this from happening in the future.
Werner Herzog film or a Michael Moore documentary can seem to be mostly about the narration. With Ken Burns, it's more of an authoritative, just the facts approach. But like Errol Morris, you don't use a narrator. Is taking out the narrator a way of taking yourself out of it?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Or does the editing take care of that?
Well, I actually do have a presence in this film because I do lob some of the tough questions I do lob towards the end, and you do hear my voice. But generally speaking, I don't believe in narration because I don't want to tell the viewer what to think. I'd like to treat the viewer like a jury member and let them weigh the pros and cons of what they're viewing and come up with their own conclusion. And that's why I think this film is not about did Hank do the right thing or the wrong thing with the financial crisis. That's again, above my pay grade, and there have been a number of excellent films about that already. I just wanted Hank to tell his story, what he did, what it was like to be in the trenches, what it's like to make those decisions when literally the weight of the world is upon you and the consequences of those decisions. And so I think there's a human story here. There's a great story of the interaction between him and his wife, who have this incredible partnership. And I think at the end of the day, I've tried to make the financial crisis somewhat understandable for a lay person.
An interviewer suggested that a theme that unites your films, beginning with Brother's Keeper, is, quote, truth and the perception of truth. Do you think that the perception of truth is an issue with Paulson, either his perception or our perception of him? Or has he largely already been forgotten by a lot of people?
Well, I think, you know, you have to separate out what actions he took as the Treasury Secretary of the United States at a time of real crisis. You have to separate that out from what Wall Street did to Main Street America. And there are a lot of real and legitimate issues, and the fact that the banks did not lend to the degree that Paulson thought they would. And the fact that, you know, where I disagree with Hank is I think there's a lot of financial executives who should have been, you know, held accountable and charged criminally in some cases. His belief was that you can't save and punish the banks at the same time, and he tilted towards, as he says in the film, he tilted towards stability in order to save the financial system, and that what he was doing, and this I became convinced of by spending time with him, he did this because he was concerned about Main Street, about jobs, about what was going to happen to the economy. And I think the great misconception about the financial crisis is that while, of course, some people pocketed, you know, unseemly sums of money, even after having lost billions of dollars for their shareholders, for the most part, a lot of these big financial companies and the shareholders, you know, were the ones who got hurt the most in the crisis.
You mentioned that some people haven't gone to jail who people think should have. We have very little time, but last time you were here, we were talking about crude and how you got involved in all sorts of lawsuits.
Yeah.
Has that been resolved?
Well, the larger case of Chevron and Danziger is happening, but my lawsuit, thank God, is over.
Joe Berlinger's film, Hank, 5 years from the Brink, will be premiering on Netflix this coming Monday. Thank you so much for being on our show again.
Appreciate it.